Anyways, the question by tonight's shiur, it's going to be regarding the topic of Ovid Inish Dinam Lenafshe, which means to take the law into your own hands. And very often you're faced with an issue where somebody went and he took a couple of dollars away from you, or somebody owes money to you. So your option is, you can go to a dentaira, and by going to the dentaira you can recover your money. But you say to yourself, what do I got to go to the dentaira to recover my money? There are much simpler ways to recover my money, right? For example, you know, you're one morning, you're in shul, and you're both davening shacharis, and he's right next to you, and you lent him the week before, a while back, $25,000. And you went over to him a few times already, the loan is past due, and you said, give me my money. And he keeps on pushing you off. So you see that as he's davening on his tefillin bag, he put down his Rolex, his $25,000 Rolex. So what do? You simply say, well, am I going to go to Din Torah? I'm going to spend money. I'm going to have to fight this. You know what? You take the Rolex, you put it in your pocket, and you say, thank you very much. I just won my Din Torah. I got my $25,000. Because you know truthfully that the person owes you the money. So, can you do that or not?
It has to be worth exactly the same amount.
Oh, does it have to be worth the exact same amount? How about if it's less? That would be a simple solution, right? Or more? Or more? That's another question. Well, are you allowed to do that or not? And how clear does it have to be that the money belongs to you? And we'll take the question a step further. Let's say, you know, I'm not obviously not advocating any violence, right? But, you know, sometimes it's an even simpler solution. You take the guy, you get a few people in the shul, you put them into the corner of the shul, you take a couple of sticks, right? And you'll get your money very quickly, right? No? So you're allowed to do that? I'm not pushing for violence, but are you allowed to beat a person in order to get your money back? Huh?
That's not a beat.
Why not? Okay, and how about if you're a strong person and you can handle it on yourself without any help? So that's dinul nafshei, right? So maybe then you could do it. So this is the topic. Now it's a very complex topic. Okay, Siman Dalet in Shulchan Aruch discusses this topic, and it's very complex. There are quite a few opinions in the matter. So let me give you the flavor of this topic.
It's the way similar to Shibuna de Rabbi Natan.
Right. In what way?
In the way that you said. Mm-hmm. Now it's your law.
Right. I mean, the truth is, this question is so important because, look, we're dramatizing a bit. Nobody's beating anybody up, obviously, right? And nobody's gonna. I can't say obviously that nobody's gonna grab something from another person because sometimes it might be worthwhile to grab something from another person. Let me ask you a different question. You have a situation where we have a dispute over $100,000, right? We have this dispute. Now, the fact is that the way it's now, if you both go to Beis Din, you won't be able to prove that I owe you the $100,000. It'll be your word against my word. Who's going to win? The muhsik, the guy that's holding the money. So you have a simple solution. You grab the $100,000 from me, and now when we show up in Beis Din, suddenly you're the muhsik, not me. Now I have to prove my case. So there are many, many differences in halacha regarding this case. And it's extremely important discussion. Let me show you the first time we deal with this in Shas. Bavakam, Chav Zayin, Amud Beis. We actually deal with this question. The question that we're discussing is, are you allowed to take the law into your own hands? When you know a person owes you money, you need to come on to a Beis Din or in order to recover your money. Or if you have the ability, you're in the person's house and you see something nice and you just want to grab it to recover your amount of money, you're allowed to do that. That's the question which we're discussing. So let me show you the first time, which the first basic discussion on this topic. It's in Bava Kama, Chav Zayin Amud Beis, in the sugya in the Perek HaMiniach, right in the beginning of Perek HaMiniach. The Gemara says the following story: Shalach le Rav Chizkiya Rav Nachman. Rav Chizkiya sent Rav Nachman the following question: Hari Amru, we all know that lechuva shalosh will be ita chomesh. Okay, which means that if you hit a person with a saddle, you pay this amount of money. If you hit a person with a different part of that's meshamish the animal, you pay this amount of money. Okay, this is for Poishet, right? Huh? Right? Did the Gemara discuss the difference if you slap a person in the face, right? Did you slap him with the back of your hand, right? All these Gemara, the Gemara discusses Poishet. Then the Gemara says as follows. How about, here's the question. Lepanda demora v'lekapina demora, right? If I hit somebody with the panda demora, is the bottom of the shovel, that's the part that goes into the ground. Lekapina demora, that's probably a greater embarrassment, that's if you hit somebody with the handle of the shovel, right? It's like a backhanded slap with a shovel. Probably better off getting hit with the handle than with the bottom of the shovel. Because if you get hit with the shovel, you'll have other problems, not just boishes. You know, you'll have a concussion or who knows what. So Mai, what's the aloch? Shalach lei. So Rav Nachman got upset at Rav Chisda. And he said to him, Chisda, Knosse Kamagvis Bebovel, we have a halacha that says that the only time you can take knas is when there is a Bezdin of Mesmochim, right? We learned this very, we discussed this already, the power of the Bezdin. We discussed this in one of the earlier shiurim already. So he says, what are you doing over here? How do you have the right to collect this money? Don't you realize that you're collecting knas, and that's in Babel? So he says to him, you know what? Emli gufa de ivda hechahava. Tell me the story. What's the story? And based on the story, we'll know how to deal with your situation. Shalach le dahi gar gusa, the have a tori. There were two people had a field right next to each other. They were neighbors. And in order to water their fields, there was one irrigation system. And one day, the person on the right took the water. The second day, the person on the left took the water. That was the system. So suddenly, one day, a guy came. It was his day to water his field. And who was watering his field? His neighbor. Now, so suddenly, he's losing his water for that day. Amalei, so he said to his friend, Yom Didihu, it's my day. What are you doing here? Like Ashkechbei, he ignored him. Shakali took Panda Demora, right? That's what he had, because he obviously had a shovel in order to open up the ditch. Took the handle of the shovel, Machi, hit him over the head. So what is the halacha? Does he have to pay him Boishes or not? Amalei, so Rav Nachman answered, not only doesn't have to pay him Boishes, but may a panda, but panda lamachke, should have hit him over the head another 100 times. Why do you only hit him over the head one time? Should have hit him 100 times over the head. I feel a lamandiyama. Listen to this. Even according to the mandiyama, loy ovet inish din lanafshe, that a person has no right to take the law into his own hands. When is that? That is only loy ovet inish din lanafshe, that's b'mokim, because there is no loss. But b'mokim say that everyone will agree that when you're going to lose money, of a din is din lanafshe, you're allowed to do din lanafshe. Now, why is there such a loss here? You can't go to Bezdin. By the time you go to Bezdin, what's going to happen? He will have taken the water for the day. He'll take the water for the day. There's no water left for you. Now, your field is going to suffer because there's no way to make up to replenish water. If you didn't water your field, it's going to dry up and you're not going to have produce in your field. So therefore, this is the case of Pseida and Hakol Moedim. Even though there's a machloikis, if you have a right to take the law into your own hand, Hakol Moedim, that when you have a situation where a person is taking away from you and you're losing, you're allowed to take the law into your own hand. But even a step further, what does the Gemara say? Beat him up. Right? Two things. Yeah, you know, obviously this isn't the time of Chazal. Today we live in a Medina Shel Chesed, and today there's laws of Din L'Machisa. Today you can't do violence. I can sit in jail for doing violence. But I'm talking here the sheer strictly mitzad halacha, mitzad Gemara, like it was in those days. Person goes and takes away something that belongs to you. Person walks into your house. And right after the person walks into your house, what does he do? He starts he comes in and starts to take something. So you walk over to him and you say, leave. And if he says no, you take him and you hit him over the head and you're allowed to beat him up. Because that is considered ikab seida, because you're about to lose something, right? That's what it says clearly. There's a very interesting Knesset HaGdoilah, which is written on the tour. Knesset HaGdoilah discusses the following question. He says, how about if a person walks into your house and he's standing on your property? But you say to him, look, you're trespassing. Please get off my property immediately. The person says, no, I'm not leaving. I'm staying here. So can you beat up a person, the Knesset HaGdoilah wants to discuss, that comes onto your property or not? No, what would you say? A person's on your property. Can you beat him up or not?
Just standing or he's walking through?
Standing, walking through, either way.
If
there's upset. So the Knesset HaGdoilah said you can't beat him up because there's no loss. That's what he writes, there's no loss. So the Knesset HaGdoilah says, that he has a wonderful plan. It's interesting, the Knesset earlier says that you can't beat him up. He also says an interesting point, that even when it's Ovid and Ishdin Lenavshe, it's only what Chazal told us that you can beat him up. You can't go into Shul and be Maitzi Shemra against him. That's what he writes, which you have to really learn well to see what's the difference. The Pasha is a person who can defend himself. You can't do other Isurim in order to defend yourself. Then the Knesset earlier says, but how do you get him off your property if you can't beat him up? So he says, what you do is, you tell the person koine, right? In the Dorim, you can say that something which belongs to me is usur for you, right? You always have the right to do that. That something which belongs to me becomes usur to you. So the Knesset Gedolah says you should do a koine. When you do a koine, automatically your property becomes usur on this person to stand it. It's like a neder, like a shua, and koine, right? In the Dorim, koinam, right? Okay. And then right afterwards, what do you do next? He says now you can beat him up. Because now he's over on the Isur of Nedarim, and a Yid that's over on the Isur, you're allowed to beat him up. So he has a loophole. He says, even though you can't beat him up because of this halacha, but you have another way of getting him. What's that? I have a right to Odomai says Shalom. I can always say that whatever belongs to me becomes also on you. I have a right to say that you have no right to use my chafetzim. I can make a net or shul. I can do whatever I want on my own. On my own private, that's the Gemara in the dorm. You can do that. So this is his plan. Okay, so we all agree. What's that?
Takanat Yehoshua.
I'm sorry?
Takanat Yehoshua, that person can walk through somebody else's.
Oh, but there are exceptions to that rule. It's not, well, you know what we'll say? Easements. We should say a whole shiur in that. That's also in Hamanir, by the way. That sugya, that's a whole sugya of what's that called? Meitzer Shechziki by Rabbim, right?
Yeah,
that you can take people's property. You should know I had already done Torahs on this topic already. There's, I had a very interesting story. There's a certain place here. You ever see that there are driveways, there are certain blocks. I don't want to say which block, because then you'll know exactly where this is. You ever see there are certain blocks that have houses on one side, houses on the other side, and like a driveway in between?
Yeah, alleyway.
You have a lot of them. But it's interesting. No, it's not a driveway, it's like a street. You see in Crown Heights, you see them just about every street.
Like a mavoi.
It's very interesting. I just had such a case. You have on one side a house, the other side a house, and in between you have a driveway. It's so interesting that if you take a look at the garages for the many of the houses face backwards. Why? Because the way you came to your house was, you came into that alleyway, pulled into your driveway, your garage, and then you came from your garage into your house. That's what you did. So there was a certain shul on a corner, and the shul on the corner went, and for many years they used that alleyway as their backyard. One day they went and they put on there was a gate on the front of that alleyway, and they put a lock on it, and suddenly none of the people in the street were able to access their garages, right? And they argued that it's been many years that nobody used their garages, so it becomes a meitzer shechziki by Rabbim after many years, and based on the easement you lose it. So this whole discussion came up there after many years. But even by a meitzer, you have to replace it with another one. It's a long discussion. It's its own shit. It's a very interesting topic. What's that?
A month is a big machlekes on that.
Yeah.
These fire lanes and all the developments.
Mm-hmm.
So for years, it was open. People mm-hmm. would also use it to walk through.
Right.
So eventually, over time, the people who live next door
mm-hmm.
would put the sod on it and put grass and all
and they were making it to their backyards,
and
right?
And they hope the fire department wouldn't say anything. And most times, the fire department.
You see, the truth is, it's
people
very
are
interesting.
Chinese. What are you taking away our alleyway?
I've had already done tourists over people that are neighbors. You know, if you have a gate that you move over a property line, you leave it there for 10 years, according to the civil law, it becomes yours. It's called an easement. After many years, that's the law, which goes into the whole sugya in Bava Basra, when you have Chazoka She'in Imoitainu. The truth is, it's Chazoka She'in Imoitainu, because you went and you acquired another person's land, but you have no real claim to that land. Okay, and the attorneys have a Mordig and Machloikas how to understand the American law, and based on the way they understand the American law, makes enough. I mean, how we pass from our entire. It's a very interesting question. But that's called, these are easements. But we'll leave that topic for another time. But the one thing we all agree on from learning the Gemara, even though there is a machloikas, when a person is actively stealing something from you, and you're going to lose money because of it, you're allowed to defend yourself, and you're allowed to be proactive, and other moisadil and afshin, you're not machloikas to go to the entire because you're losing. No disagreement.
During the actual time that it's being stolen off.
Excellent point. It seems to be from the Gemara, all you see is that in the actual time, we'll see the Machaber and Simon Dalid extends that, and he says that when you see the actual chefetz that was stolen from you, that it has the same halacha. That's the Machaber and Simon Dalid, and the Rishonim have a few disagreements. They have conditions to this rule, and based on the conditions, we're going to have to do more application. There's going to be a Machaber, there's going to be two opinions in the Ramah, there's going to be a Marik, there's going to be a Sma, there's going to be a Rabbi Yonatan Eifshitz, there's going to be a Shach, there's going to be a Ktois. The topic is complicated. I'm giving you an overview on the topic, but as you get further into the topic, you'll see that it's very detailed and there are many different rules in application. Suddenly now, there's an interesting Gemara in the Sechtes Brachas. I want to share another Gemara with you. And then you'll see that there's a tremendous discrepancy here between the two Gemaras. In Brachas, the Tafayimet Beis, the Gemara says the following story. Rav Huna, Tekifele Arba Meir Dani Dechamri. Rav Huna was a very wealthy man. Rav Huna had 400 barrels of wine. Suddenly all 400 barrels turned into vinegar. Okay. So what happened? Oligabe, now he's sort of at home, he's like in Avelis, he's very depressed from the Lahavl, you know, from the money he lost. And Oligabe, so they went to visit him, Rabbi Yehuda is Achvader of Sal Chassid of Rabbanim. So he has a visit from the Rabbanim in order to make him feel good, to sort of, you know, condolences for his great business loss. Okay, disagreement who he is. And they want to make him feel good. You know, some people always know how to say the right thing. Right? Some people always know how to say the right thing. So what do they say to him? What did you do wrong? Right? That's the first thing. That's the first thing they say to him as they walk in. What did you do wrong? What are you guys accusing me? That's the visit. The visit is to accuse me. Amalei, what did they say back? If Hashem did it, it's got to be a reason. So listen, you don't want us to accuse you, but you're not accusing Hashem of doing something for no reason. Avalahu, you know what, listen, I have no idea. But Iika man the shmir alai milsa lema. If anybody heard anything I did wrong, say it, right? Say it right now, and we'll forever keep your peace. This is your chance to say what I did wrong. Amrilay Hachashmila, this is what we heard. The Layov Ma Shibusha Larise. You have a worker, right, a sharecropper in your field, and you're not paying him his percentage, his salary. So that's what you're doing wrong. Amalahu, so he said back, Mikashavali Midi Mine, right? He doesn't leave anything for me that I can pay him. There's nothing left for me to pay him. Hakagonavle Kili, he steals everything from me. Okay. So Amrilay, so what did they say to him? Now we understand. Haini the Amri Inshi, that's what people say. Bosa Ganav Ganoiv, right? When you have somebody steals from you, steal back. But in the meantime, the time at time, you get the flavor of what it's like to steal, you become a Ganav yourself. Okay? Amalahu, so what does he say? Kibil Nalai, I take upon myself, the Yahavni, the Yahivili, I'll pay him back. Okay, so now there's a disagreement. What happened? Either the price of vinegar went up, or the vinegar turned back into wine. Okay, now, beautiful Gemara. One problem. We all learned, Avadin Nishtin Lanafshe. What happened? Why suddenly is there no Avadin Nishtin Lanafshe? No, who can suggest a difference? What? Al Tamid Chacham. I don't think that's the reason. I'll tell you why. It's interesting because usually we'll see soon that by Avadin Ishdin L'Nafshe, it has to be that you know specifically the amount of money, Chevetz HaMavura, it has to be very clear that you can go to the Torah and win the money. But the Pesach Shuvah brings down that a Talmid Chacham, if he knows for sure, he can go the extra mile. Yeah, okay. There's a whole disagreement if there is such a Talmud Chacham b'zman hazeh, and which that disagreement is all over, and the Paiskim say that regarding this halakha, even today there's a Talmud Chacham. So you see that when a person, because they don't want to be matriach, the Talmud Chacham should sit in Din Torah, he should go back to the Bismarck to learn. So that I don't think is the pshat. You see clearly not that way. So we need to analyze, you know, what is the difference between Rav Huna and between our topic in Bava Kamma, when the guy stole the water from him. Okay, so now, if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Dalet, below the Shulchan Aruch, there is a sefer called the Simon Dalet. There's a sefer called Kesef HaKadoshim. Kesef HaKadoshim. And the Kesef HaKadoshim deals with this question. Alright, you got Simon Dalet? Yeah. Still Dal right in the beginning. Here. Okay, here I go. Dal at Kesef HaKadoshim. Where did it start? Okay, yeah, Siman Dal. Now I got it. Now we got it. On the bottom. Okay, you see this? Siman Dal on the bottom, Sif Aleph. The first piece. Yochel Lekachta. This is a very, this piece has beautiful yesoidis in the concepts of understanding when over the Nishin Lenafshe and when not. Masha Omu Chazal Bosse Gam Vigenoi Vetam Atoim. He deals with the issue of on the Siman of other Maisa Dil Lenafshe. What do you do with this Gemara and Brochas? Perish Rashi Zal, Shamba Perikam of the Brochas, Sheyesh Bezeh Issa. Benu Sheyesh Bezeh Chilukim Haba. There are many Chilukim. What are they? Kikan the Kamel of the Nishin Lenafshe, Kifi Aprotim Shebezeh. First, he says a beautiful concept. We learned right in the first shiur. We learned the she'iltas. You can't steal on the condition to return, right? You can't steal if you want to give a person tzedakah. So you steal in order to give him dal v'hei. You're not allowed to do that. Why are you not allowed to do that? He says, because when you actually do the action, you're stealing. Since when you do the action, you're stealing, therefore you're not allowed to do that. But if Chazal tell you that Ovid Inish Dina L'Nafshe, so that action is not an action of stealing, it's not Geneva. That's the first rule he says. Very important rule. The Gemara says, don't steal. If you steal, you get a flavor. That's what the Gemara Brachas tells us. So whenever it says here that you're allowed to take the law into your own hands, that's not an act of stealing. That's the first beautiful thought that he shares with us. Now, why is there a problem in the Gemara in Brachas? Because the Gemara in Brachas, he can't clearly define how much was stolen from him, the Kesef HaKadoshim says. Here's a guy, you have a guy working for you. What's that?
Is it his?
What do you mean, is it his?
When you see the watch on your neighbor's...
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You might not be able to take it because it's not yours. You gave him the money.
Right.
But it's not yours. If it was your watch that you lent him and he never gave it back to you,
oh, so that's Kavis HaMavur, that everybody says clear you can take. If you see the stolen object, everyone's going to agree you can take it. But there's two issues. One issue is what you're mentioning now, which I will discuss in a few moments, because that the Mechaber speaks about, and that's going to be in the disagreement between the Chabad, the Ramad, the Marik. That's going to be part of the disagreement. But I'm asking you a different question. You're already discussing that you know that the person owes you $25,000. The question is, it's not the cash, it's a watch. That's what you're discussing. He's going a step before that. He's saying you don't really know the exact amount that was stolen from you. You have a guy that's working for you.
The Aris gets 20%, 50%, whatever the amount is.
Right, but you know what the problem with the Aris is? The problem with the Aris was that he kept on taking home food on the side.
He never knew the real number.
But you don't know the real number that he's really taking. I have a case now with a guy that owns probably one of the largest kosher food concessions in the world, a conglomerate of many, many companies. And the guy managing, he's being accused of taking out approximately $100,000 a year in food. So the owners are accusing the manager of taking out about $100,000 a year in food. Now, if they were to decide to grab from him this amount of money, that would be a problem because they don't really know the true amount. It's an umdendast, it's an estimate. They figure if it takes this amount of meat a week and this amount of fish a week and this amount of the next thing a week, over the year, probably amount. Oh, what happened with a few weeks he went on vacation? You have to have courage to gamble, right? If you go on vacation for a few weeks, you don't steal for those weeks. Or whatever else, I'm not saying he did it, but this is what the accusation is. So anytime where there is an accusation, it's not a guaranteed number, you go into the first child. The first child is that it's not a guaranteed number. You understand? So that's what he's saying. He says, Rav Huna, it was a suggestion. His suggestion is, he says, I'm not going to pay him because he's probably stealing the amount of his salary. And if he's stealing 3/4 of his salary, so you owe him a quarter of his salary. So how could you go and grab and do dina l'nafshe when you don't know how much to grab? And if you think about it, it's brilliant, this explanation, because that's what it means, that since you steal from him, you get the flavor of stealing. Because you don't really know. It could be that you're stealing more than him. It could be at the end of the day that you're going to walk out and he's going to have taken more than you have taken. Okay? So lo shaykh b'ze, he says, through an estimate, you can't do dinu l'nafshei. Ki im bez lagol b'doyri, just a great bezim. Of course, regarding yourself, because a person has negiyus to himself. V'chush kal mehera hatoyis korv b'zeh b'daki umdenis v'yipachav v'shalom l'michshel otzim gam itzak shoy l'chem fine. Now he continues. I want to show you a few very nice ideas that he writes here. One second. Okay. Here, go to the next. By the dot. V'gam kishabal ho umdena lachshoid chaveri hu muchsik l'shayach b'ze loyme sveikem amoyne kula l'nitva v'amoytze mechaveri olav haraya. He says another point. This is an extremely important question. Let's say the person who has the umdana, I feel you probably stole money from me. And the money is sitting by me. And I'm the muhsik. And remember, the muhsik automatically wins in a din Torah. Can I keep the money? Because in a din Torah, you won't be able to beat me and take the money out from my possession. That goes even a step further. Technically speaking, I'm not 100% sure the money belongs to me. Right? But even though I'm not 100% sure the money belongs to me, I have the ability to win the case based on this.
No, you know the money belongs to you, but you just don't know how much.
I don't know how much, exactly.
Right? You know the money belongs to you.
But here goes a step further. Our discussion is for Avadin Ishtin Lanafshay, so I'm coming into your possession to grab money away from you. He's saying, whoa, one second. He says, I'm not going to grab any money away from you. I'm simply going to withhold What is by me? I have a few fascinating cases now. A person came to me this week, Sunday, Motzei Shabbos, very urgent, he wants to talk to me. What's happening? He's having a din Torah. Somebody is suing him for $85,000. Okay, no problem. $85,000, having a din Torah. He says, I figured out a certain way that I can beat the system. And I could say a certain argument, which again goes into the I can say mitzvah shekatircha. I can say a certain story, and I won't have to pay. So I said to him, "What do you mean? You're lying. I mean, how could you say the story? It's mitzvah shekatircha. You can't do that." He says, "Yeah, but let me tell you something." And then he takes out another psak din that happened between these two parties 3 years earlier. The two of them had it in Torah, and the Bezdin ruled 3 years earlier that the other guy owes him $100,000, but he doesn't have to pay because he's part of Dinei Adam v'chayv b'dinei Shemayim. Okay, so a lot of times you're grown, so you're part of here, but you really owe the money. But Bezin can't be m'chayv you to pay. So he says, technically speaking, he owes me the money. And now, I'm holding the money. So this is my payday, now I'll get him back now. And I'll figure out how to withhold his $85,000 to recover $85,000 of my $100,000. This was his chachma. The Ktzois talks about this question. The Ktzois discusses, it's a big disagreement between the Ktzois and the Sivis, if you can grab money to counterbalance a different chiv b'dinei Shemayim. We'll go through this Ktzois, an interesting Ktzois, which we're not going to get to tonight. But he's talking about another question now. The other question he's talking about now is, fine, we're not going to go and grab and steal money away from you. We're not doing the grabbing, but rather what are we doing? I presently have your money in my possession. I'm the muhsik, and probably the money is mine. So can I retain my money or not? And he says the answer is absolutely not. Okay. V'gam kishetchilas shutris haya. Fine. Yisrael ezecheskes. So he says further. Gicheskes kashkol. Fine. He achriya neged kol umdana. Then he says I'm just going to skip down a few lines. Kisafik deraisa lechumra. Listen to these words. It's extremely important. Why is it that when you come to Bezdin and two people have a disagreement and you can't prove your case that the Bezdin will not take the money away from the other person? Is that because the money truthfully belongs to the other person? No, not necessarily. But rather, shekeshem sheyesh sofik gezel al hanitfa, ken yesh sofik gezel al hateveya. The Bezdin can't force it, because if the Bezdin will act to take away the money from the nitzvah, give it to the teveya, and it's not proven money, so they're stealing.
Well, why is that gezel?
Why is it gezel? Because it's not a ruling. that it belongs to one over the other. It's just that they don't know. So if we don't know, and the Bez might be stealing
it. If it's a fake, it's one thing. But right. If it's Vadai.
No, it's Vadai. Everybody agrees. But let's say you have very often you have a case with is no hechacha one way over the other. So what does Bezin say? There's no echacha. Everybody's always happy to be the muchsik. And he's coming in, he's saying a very important point. Don't be so excited to be the muchsik. You might be the muchsik, and Bezin won't be able to win and take the money away from you because Bezin would be stealing. And else Bezin can't put themselves into a position with a stealing from one to give to the other. But he says, don't forget, you yourself, by retaining the money, might be stealing. Okay, and people don't realize this. People are so excited to win it in Torah because the money couldn't be taken away from them. And they figure out how the money should not be taken away from them. But you realize that it's very likely that what's happening over here is that when you win, you're really losing because you're holding a name on your hands. That's what's really, really happening. I have to tell you, probably the most beautiful moment I've ever seen in the Torah in my life. And this story goes back. It's about 13 years ago. I was once at a din Torah between two Syrians, and it was in the jeans business. It was a very, very serious din Torah. The numbers were very substantial, very substantial. It's interesting. One of the guys was totally religious, and he was very religious. One of the people. And the other one came to din Torah. He was not very religious. But what was beautiful was he had a tremendous respect. You know, Kavod HaTorah was phenomenal. It was really, really beautiful. I mean, he would come to the Din Torah. He would put on the kippah when he walked into the Din Torah. But he was very, very respectful. And you know, there was something that happened at that Din Torah that will never leave my mind, because if everybody would have that same yira that person who we view as, you know, just making it as religious, I'm not sure if he was Shomer Shabbat. I'm not sure. I would think not. But that's what it seemed like from the conversation. But the aim that he had was tremendous. The entire went back and forth, and there was one question that became a tremendous issue between the two parties. And one of them looked at the other person, and he said, "No, tell me, what's the story? And the Bezin kept on asking the same question too." And the guy was denying. He was like mischamek. He didn't actually deny, but you saw from the way he was denying that he was, but you couldn't prove it. And he was the muhsik. Exactly this case that he was a muhsik. So the religious fellow turned to the non-religious fellow, and he looked him in the eye, I remember this like today, and he said to him, "Tishma, ata yoshev po, yesh po betin, svarim, mezuzot, Kim Nitzav Badaskel," you know, like he really put the fear of God into him, the way he presented the question to him. And he said to him, "Look, the Bezin asked you already, I asked you already, but remember who's sitting here, who you're sitting by. Tell me once and for all the truth. Did you or didn't you do this, and do you or don't you owe the money?" And the person like swallowed for a few seconds, and he relaxed, and he thought about it. And he says, "You know, you're right." And he threw the whole Din Torah away. And the numbers were astronomical. Astronomical. But you had the classic case. I mean, to me, I mean, every one of us who is so religious should, you know, if we get this Nisoyan, you know, and we are the Mosik. It can't be proven. Think about it. We're the Mosik. It can't be proven. But you have to recognize that when that happens, and at the end of the day, it doesn't really belong to you. All that happened was Bezin couldn't remove the money from your possession. It doesn't really belong to you. Yeah, it's such an important concept if you think about it. And he says, he suffered the rice l'chumra. He says, "Shatam ois chaveol v'rai, he mitzad shach Hashem sheyesh suffer gezel ha'nitva, kein yesh suffer gezel ha'teveya. V'efshen, efshel lebezin lehizokek lehoitzi ha'momen mehamuchse ki'ili isura yavda bezer." The Bezin's concerned they might do an issa. A guy that says, "I don't know where I owe the money." So B'day Shemayim, he has to pay. Ki gam k'shebezin menakim adifusa shel zeh neged adifusa dechazoka demore kama yivesofik shokel sheval tasa odif. So the Bezin has to do sheval tasa. Ki b'chol tzad yesh issa. Right? Mashenken legam b'didei gufa. But he himself has to pay losses to Shemaim. So this is just an extremely important concept. Before we approach, you know, over the Nijin Lanafshe, I'm just saying to you, we're going to tell you all the loopholes now, but be careful before you actually start to do the thing Lanafshe. You know, it reminds me of a famous story with the Chazanish. The Chazanish's wife had a store, and she once had a din Torah with a certain person. And, you know, they discussed who's going to be the Rav, who's going to be the Dayan. So this person chose the Chazanish's wife. He said to her, you want to go to the Torah, no problem, but your husband will be the Dayan. So they went to the din Torah. And after they went to the din Torah, the Chazanish ruled like the other person, not like his wife. So he came home, you know, she gave it to him over the head. She says, what do you do over here? You know, I was right. How can you rule like the other person? You know, and the Chazanish said to his wife, he says, what's the whole life worth if you have one penny that doesn't really belong to you? Chazanish wasn't taking any chances. This person was very shrewd by who he chose, you know. I don't know, maybe this other person should have examined that he took money, you know, unfairly by taking the Chazanish as a dime. In any event, let's take a look now, and now that we have the introduction to the topic, let's see the actual halacha on this topic. And we got 15 minutes left, but let me see if we can go through the most important parts of the siman. Okay, let's first learn the sheet of the Mechaber. How the Mechaber views this topic. Yochel Adam Lasses Din Liatzman. The Mechaber says you can do Din Liatzman your own. Imroya Shaloi Biyad Achad. See your item in somebody else's hand. So now, Simon, you mentioned one point. And what was that point? Not necessarily that he's coming to steal from you, but the Mechaber extends what the Gemara said to when you see the stolen item. Then you can do Din Lanafshe. Yochel Kachta Miyodoi. V'im Ha'acha Oimet Kenegdoi. Right? Did you see the other person doesn't want to let you take it? You can beat him until you leave him alone. Till he leaves you alone. Now, I just want to point out, you read the Mechaber, the Mechaber is talking about getting physical. Okay? When the Mechaber says, oh, the Moisa Dil Anavshe, you can get physical, you can beat the person up. It will make a tremendous difference because we'll see soon there's an opinion of the Marik, where the Marik says that there's going to be a difference if you're going to get physical or not get physical. Marik says that when these is over the Nishdil and Afshe, you have all these exceptions when you can't do it. What's the reason for that? The reason for that is because you have to beat the person up. But if you're just going to grab the item without beating the person up, that you're always allowed to do it. That's going to be the opinion of the Marik. Now, there's obviously a serious problem because whenever you see an item, you can grab it because you think it's yours. So people are always going to be grabbing things from each other, and there's going to be no civilized society. But the Marik. The Marik.
How does he see that from here?
He does. In the Mechaber, it makes no mention of tvisa, just grabbing it. That's what I want to point out. Mechaber is not discussing that case. The Mechaber is talking about the ultimate of an inish din l'nafshe, which is what we read from the Gemara in Hamaniyah. Continue.
Period.
Continue. Even if.
Now, if he's not able to grab it unless he beats him up,
go ahead. So the Mechaber is going to the extreme. He says not only you can grab it, you can even beat him up.
Right, but you can even do both.
Yeah,
if you could grab it, preferably right. Just grab it.
Okay, but here's the problem. What happens when you have an exclusion to the rule of Avad in the Shtin Lanafshe? For example, the Mechaber said clearly, when are you allowed to do Din Lanafshe?
When
it's your own item, or the person is presently being mazik you. How about if he owes you $100,000? Can you go and take money from him? Absolutely not. Mechaber made no such mention. Person owes $100,000, you want to take his watch to start paying off the money. You can't do it, right? So do I want to point, but how about if you don't have to beat him up? You only have to do tfisa to grab it. That the Mechaber doesn't discuss. That's going to be discussed later in the Marik and the Ramah. That's what I was pointing out. Go ahead, what's your question?
If you beat the other guy up to get your possession back,
right?
Does he have a case against you?
If you did Din Lanafshe, which was accurate, there's no problem. That's the whole discussion. We'll get to it in Siman Tov Chafalot. What's that? No, if you did Din Lanafshe, you have a license. Yes, you have a license to beat him up according to the Shulchan Aruch. I said in the beginning of the Shia, we're not promoting violence, and today we're in America, we have to follow the laws of the land. According to the halacha, to the extent to recover your item. And if you can do it, I'll tell you what it says in the poskim. If you can do it in a way where you can get away with it, that you don't have, it's like they said, you can, if the police, right, shoot a person, but they could have shot him in the leg, so they're liable, right? Similarly, the post can write, you have to do the minimum what it takes in order to get your item.
Roidif,
yeah. In Siman Tov Chaf Aleph, there's a whole discussion, what happens if the guy goes and beats him up, right? Because he's there with a license, with a roidif, right? Pinchas, Zimri, the Gemara Sanhedrin, that's Tov Chaf Aleph, that's not a discussion for right now. Again, I said, I'm not promoting violence today, nobody beats each other up, but I'm learning the halacha, what is your right mitzad halacha? That is what this shir is, okay? Yoch la'koisei, atchi anichenu, right? The Rama adds, if you can just threaten him and you don't have to actually beat him up. Now the Machaba adds an important point. The Machaba says, even he did, remember we had a machloket in the Gemara between the two cases. The Machaba says, even if you're not going to lose any money, you're not mechuyev. As you're losing an item, you see the stolen item. In other words, just to answer the other question you said in the beginning of the shir, chefetz hamavur, which means you see the item. But if you don't see the item, just to grab money for something that happened to you, that already you're not allowed to do. Okay, that's just the introduction to the opinion, to the shita of the Mechaba. Now I just want to add, I'm not going to be able to read inside the Nois HaKelim because we're getting a bit late, but I want to add a few very important points. The Sma and the Nesivas add an extremely important point, that all of this is assuming that you can come afterwards to Beis Din and you can, with Eidim, prove exactly how you lost, why the person owes you the money. If you can't prove exactly later how the person owes you the money, then you can't do it. Okay, that's rule number one. Now, rule number two. How about if there's Eidim watching you grab the item away? Right? So then you only can grab it if you're going to be able to prove later in Beis Din that the person owes you the money. But how about if there's no Eidim? Comes the Sma, and the Sma says a beautiful Chiddush. The Sma says, then you're allowed to grab it, even if you can't totally prove it. Okay, it's a little different than the case of HaKadosh we've done before. Listen to the logic. The logic is very interesting. A person comes to Beis Din, and they have an argument. He says it belongs to him. He says it belongs to him. So the guy says, it has to belong to me. Why? Because it's my possession. And I could have... I didn't have to admit that I grabbed it from you. That we call a migu, right? Because migu that I could have said loy tafasti, right? I could have just said muhsik. And I'm saying, what? You know, that's when you know clearly something is yours. You know beyond the shadow of doubt it's yours. You have no question as far as the halacha, but you don't have it in writing. You can't prove it. So then, according to the Sma, you can grab this in the opinion of the Mechaba. You can grab it in order to come later to the Beis Din, and when you come to the Beis Din, you'll have a migu that you can say, loy tafasti. Okay? That's the next concept that I wanted to mention. Now, let's just read another few words here in the Mechaba. And the Mechaba points out that all of this is specifically talking about when a person owes you money, but it's not talking about a loan. Remember, it's not talking about a loan. Why can't any of this discussion be talking about a loan? Because by a loan, there's a lav in the Torah, right? Loy sobe habaisa lav et avoyta, right? You're not allowed to take a mashkin. You can't. There's a lav in the Torah, loy si loy kenosha, that if a person goes and owes you money, you can't go and grab from him without permission. So obviously, the Mechaba points out that this whole discussion is talking about that he owes you money for a different reason, but not because of a loan, because if because of a loan, there is an issa to grab a mashkin, which we can discuss at different times. Siman Tzadik Zayin and Shulchan Aruch, Sevav, you could get a mashkin only through a bezin if a person refuses to pay, but not on a personal level, you cannot get a mashkin. The Sma points out that there are times that even on a loan, you could get a mashkin. That's if the loan is not mikoyach malva v'loiva. For example, a person owes you money as a renter, you could grab a mashkin. Or if you want to collect from the orev, from a co-signer, there's no lav of not taking a mashkin. So there are many exceptions to this rule. Now, there is on the daf a fascinating Shar HaMelech. The Shar HaMelech is a very famous sefer on the Rambam, and he has a very interesting question. He says as follows. What is the reason why you're not allowed to grab a mashkin? A person owes you $100,000. He refuses to pay. So you can't go and grab something from him because you can't grab a mashkin. But how? That's very good because you approached him and you said, pay, and what did he say? I don't have the money. How about if you approached him to pay you the money, and what does he say? I don't owe you the money. So now you're not grabbing anymore as a mashkin. You're grabbing to recover your money, like any case of a disagreement between two people. So the Shah Melech says, you're allowed to do it. The Ksois strongly disagrees, and the Ksois says no. It's still a loan. The Ksois says, once it's a loan, the Torah said a lot that in any case of a loan, you can't grab. A disagreement between the Ksois and the Shah Melech. The Shah Melech is learning the only issue of the Torah is when you're grabbing to recover the loan. When a person refuses to pay, and you're grabbing the loan to recover. But if the intention is to recover the lie, right?
If the person says, I didn't borrow the money from you.
Yeah.
Does that not make it into a loan anymore?
That must be part of the Shah Melech's argument. Right, that must be part of the Shah Melech's argument that in that case it does not become it transfers. It's suddenly not a loan. There's a fascinating discussion in the Ktsois, where the Ktsois discusses the following question. How about if you have already a Pikodin? You have a Pikodin from a different loan, but there's another loan he refuses to repay. So you say, I'm going to withhold a different Pikodin as collateral for another loan. So that's already a Sheval Taisa. The Ksois brings down a Zoyer where he says, according to the basic halacha, it should be okay. However, he brings down a Zoyer that the Zoyer says that if a person has a pikodin from another person and he refuses to return it, is not Mibnei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Very, very strong Lashonis. The Ksois at the end writes that he found a Ritvim Bava Basra that actually says that there is grounds in halacha for the Zoyer. And at the end, the Ksois says that you should be Machmer on this question, but it's not necessary. The Beis Yosef is famous, he rules like a Rimami Pani, where the Rimami Panu says that it depends if the Pikodin preceded the loan or the loan preceded the Pikodin. He feels that if the Pikodin preceded the loan, then it's not bound by that loan's obligation of not taking a mashkin against that loan. So that's also a very interesting discussion. Let's move down now. And just, we only have a couple of minutes left, so let's see the two opinions that the Rama quotes. The Rama quotes the following two opinions. Now the Rama says, "I go mitam shishbal lekamon simin zayim v'yesh oimim davke b'choy v'mamish avochay v'loy b'loy havor oish shein tzorich l'mashkenoi ku kva etze v'pikodoin oimotze v'yad acha mutter l'toifsei." So now, this first Rama also is going in Tfisa, but the first Rama extends that even though you're not allowed to take a mashkin, not taking a mashkin for a choyv, everybody agrees, okay? But the Rama is extending the Mechaba, and the Mechaba says only by a chayfetz hamavuru, when you have a clearly defined item, are you allowed to beat up the person. The Rama is saying no. The Rama is saying not only by a chayfetz hamavuru, even by a chayfetz which is not mavuru. Okay, there are many explanations in this Rama, but we don't have there's basically three explanations.
Can you take it from somebody else?
What's that? How can you take it from somebody else?
You gave it, or you know, that Reuven stole it from you, mm-hmm. And now you see by Shimon. Mm-hmm. You will take it from Shimon.
Oh, so that's already a question. It's a shear in its own. It's a very interesting question when it comes to recovering Gnevis that you find of yours in another person's property. But that's not a 2-minute discussion. I will be Ezrat Hashem. We'll give a full shear in this topic. The truth is, it's a very important topic, by the way. I mean, you have situations. A person approaches you with stolen goods. So you buy the stolen goods. Can you not pay him and return it? Right? And you know, it doesn't exist as much today. But in the old days, you'd walk on Manhattan on the streets, and every street they were selling all kind of different. I don't know. They're still selling as well. I think they cracked down a lot. That it's not as bad as it used to be. But let me just touch on the last case, which is the other opinion in the Rama. V'yesh oimim deloy amin avadin eshtin l'nafshe. Now the Rama goes back and he wants to sort of go like the Mechaba. There has to be a specific item. Okay? Shaloi, if you're going, for example, Shagozli, he stole, or Shiroitzli Gozli, you see a guy wants to steal from you now, but that's a clear loss because you see that you're losing it. Or the case is that he wants to be Mazik you, okay? And then he adds on, Vadafkahu Ba'atzma, just quick to add this point. Ovid Oysa Dilan Afshay is only you on your own, alright? But not through a goy. You can't hire a goy in order to. Right? Yeah, you can't hire. That's very important. And by the way, it's a little hard to understand. Why not? No, you can't hire a person. That's what it says clearly. Whatever you do, you gotta work out a little bit. If you're not working out, then you're not in shape. You can forget about this halacha. because he says you can't hire a person. So the Urim Betumim, who's Rebbein Sanhedrin, explains, and many others explain, that the reason for this is because once the Torah is going to allow that you should go and hire Goyim, forget about it, you're going to lose the whole structure of the Torah. So that's already totally out. However, the Rama says, Im Ova Va'osa, but if you did it, Ayyidei Asarim, through the Goyim, then it's okay. Im Loi Ha'yoch La'asa Shloim Me'im Nachad. You had no choice, Masha Osi Osi. The truth is, the complicated question is that when there's really no time to go into this specific question now, the Shach touches on it. When you hire a Goy, sometimes you're allowed to, sometimes if you can't recover your item, so you go to a Rav, and the Rav says, look, the person refuses to come to Bezin, go to court and save your money through court. Through a permission of Bezin, you're allowed to do it. You go to court, and then the court rewards you more than you would have gotten according to the Din Torah. Very complex question, how you deal with it. But we'll deal with it.
Can you go to a collection agency?
What's that?
You sold so many goods, can you go to a collection agency?
A collection agency is simply sending a letter that a person owes you a bill. There's nothing wrong with that.
They could sue him also.
In the collection agency, you go into a third party, who the third party is going to sue. It's another yid, obviously. No, but you're going to I'm saying the person that's getting sued is another yid. So really, it's this question. You're going to the collection agency itself is doing nothing wrong. It's sending a letter to a person you owe money.
It
says, I'm going
to
ruin your credit rating. They're telling the person that you owe money.
No, I think they get the loan.
I think they get a percentage. If they take over and there's no shadow, you sold the note. That's no question. But if they're getting a percentage, that should be a question. But let's just conclude with one point. But yes, I just want to read to you the Marik, because this is extremely important, and then we're going to conclude because it's getting a little late. Only when you're being mazik, your friend. When is this whole discussion when you're beating the person up? Only if you can prove it. You got to catch the mayor now? Okay, so we'll stop over here. I'll finish this next halacha next week. I'll just finish this one last point. Next week is going to be an interesting shiur. It's about the Mechiras Chametz.